This is Juno Afternoon. I'm Shelley Delaney. Integrating Western science with Indigenous knowledge, our next guest, Dr. Apila Colorado, says humanity's future depends upon it. She's founder of the Worldwide Indigenous Science Network and not too long ago called Juno home. Welcome to the show, Dr. Colorado.
Good afternoon. Really happy to be here.
Thanks. We're happy to have you here. Would you like to introduce yourself for our listeners?
Sure. I'm Apila Colorado. When I lived here, I didn't use my native name, so people would remember me as Pam Colorado. I am Oneataaga, Oneida tribe, and I am also Gaul or half French. I am a French Indian person.
And are you headed please go ahead.
I forgot to even say, and when I lived here, I was mentored by Chief Donawak, Austin Hammond, Tlingit, and Richard Dalton Sr. of Huna. And I also have a PhD in social policy. I finished writing my dissertation here on the banks of Lemon Creek.
And you're headed back to Juno this week, is that right?
I am here now.
What brings you back to Juno, to Tlingit Ani?
What brings me back is probably best described by that certain blue-black radiant bird that caws, the raven. My mentors were Raven Clan. I was adopted into the Ravens. And in my new book, Woman Between the Worlds by Hay House, there's three chapters of it set in Juno, because this was the catalytic nexus of all my life's work. And all these years, I've only been able to come back once or twice. And now here I am back with this book to give thanks for all this land, the majesty, the mountains, the ocean, the ravens, the eagles, the Tlingit, the settler people, all that was given to me. I need to give thanks and want to give thanks for that, particularly to the sites that empowered me, the waterfall, Lemon Creek, the glacier, and the community of people that call themselves Junoites.
I would love to ask you more about the book. You've recently written and published a book called Woman Between the Worlds, A Call to Your Ancestral and Indigenous Wisdom. What is this book about?
The book, the storyline follows my life from childhood to adulthood. And each chapter is set in a different place that I've gone to, as unknowingly and sometimes knowingly, I was going about remembering my Indigenous mind. Growing up between the worlds, neither fully French nor fully American Indian, I was at first in a really marginal, dangerous place. And my journey of life was to bring the two together. The initiation, the energy, the strength to do that came from a ceremony my grandfather did with me when I was about 4 years old, 3 to 4 years old. He took me out under a full lunar eclipse, and there as the darkness descended upon the land and the forest sounds went silent, something happened. I was inducted into the mysteries and I fell asleep on my grandpa's arm. I can still feel the wool of his shirt against my face. I loved him and he loved me. That's what set me on this path. So Woman Between the Worlds, it's tracing a journey through different parts of the earth, through biosystems, through Indigenous cultures, as I'm retrieving the lost parts of myself, but through a long time span. There's a chapter in that sets place in the south of France in the Painted Caves, where now I go for ceremonies annually. The Painted Caves were painted by our Paleolithic ancestors 30 to 40,000 years ago, breathtakingly beautiful, and reminding us how time understood in a linear progression is faulty, and that the whole mind, the womb time, the manava, the sacred time, is what's calling to us now to remember, to renew, to relive. The book is the story about that and what it's meant to do, especially for women and for men who know how to live and embrace the holistic or the context-rich way of knowing and being. We are the people now. The earth is empowering and calling to bring forth this new time, this new cycle, to end the insanity of consumerism and separation set forth in motion in the Industrial Revolution by the Roman Empire, by the Chinese dynasties, all the way back to the point where we came into being. And I also talk in the book about South Africa and visiting the cradle of humankind, where we say the spirit of life became materialized. We put on our animal skins. And now at this time, to save the earth, indigenous people will say, we're coming full cycle. The earth is in great changes now between the worlds. Therefore, the title Woman Between the Worlds. And when this people came, the star beings, the angels, the genetics, however you want to conceive of it, by whatever metaphysical, scientific framework, we came into being, into material form, with a set of instructions, original instructions. And coming full circle now, we begin to bump into those origins. And this is the place where we can renew. It's a time of great possibility. And it's happening right now where COP26 is happening. So perhaps good to have this conversation today.
Your travels alone and the experiences you've had all over the world, especially in these really sacred places, is very inspiring. I'd personally love to see the cave paintings in France myself someday. But in the Juno chapters of your book, what will our readers recognize or be inspired by?
I thought you'd never ask. I'm in the limits of time. How many minutes do I have? I'm trying to decide if I should read something quickly or just paraphrase.
You can read something quickly.
I'll read something and then. Okay. All right. So here it is. You'll know that the day was like my mood. Dull gray rain clouds soaked and low. It seemed like they could bump the top of my head. In despair, I dropped to my knees on the cold, damp sand of the riverbank and sobbed. A movement on the far side of the stream caught my attention. I looked up and into the glittery obsidian eye of a huge black raven. He cocked his head to one side as if considering something, and then began shouldering side to side, dancing in an up-to-the-minute raven rhythm. Diffused diamond light of the northern rainforest refracted the glimmer of blue, green, lavender, and gold in the movement of the stark-winged dancer. White raven, a spiritual antecedent and twin to black raven, is known for purity and high-mindedness, while Black Raven is known as a trickster spirit, a demigod in his own right, but full of mischief and trouble. And then I go on and I say, because of bills due and no job, even finishing my PhD and three children to support, and a bill collector just having called me, and now I'm down by the side of the creek and I'm praying, and I look up across the stream at that raven and I say, isn't there a raven who would help me? And then it happens. The words had barely come from my mouth when a sound like a tea towel being snapped cracked behind me. Startled, I jumped to my feet just as a raven hopped up from a side of the stream and took to the air. With extraordinary speed, he came right at me, actually at my inner eye. It happened so fast. And yet I could hear, as if in slow motion, each beat of his broad black wings as he approached, flap, flap, flap. Somehow, the pulse slowed my mind and brought my spirit back into myself. Nothing existed in the moment. About 3 feet above me, he halted midair. He hovered and fanned his wings downward to my upturned face. Instinctively, I raised my arms in prayer, nearly touching the blue-black shining being. He was that close. Tears unbidden streamed down my face as an overwhelming emotion coursed through my body. Then he dropped to chest level about 3 feet out from me and began a slow sunwise circle around my body. A second raven, who I later realized had been standing behind me from the beginning and whose wings snapped open had created the tea towel sound, joined the first raven. They circled my body once, twice, three times in total aerial cacophony. Upside down, sideways, and right side they flew. then apparently satisfied that took off one behind the other toward the Gastineau Channel. I didn't want them to go and started to follow and then stopped myself. Enough is enough, I said to myself, and stood there on the wet sandy bank by myself, laughing, crying, and thanking Raven and anyone else who was listening. So what happened after that? As I'm walking by the side of the creek, I'm gonna go into the house. I look down in the water, and there in a little scooped out place in the soil of the riverbank, which had just been devastated by development. It was just hard pan soil with rain falling on it. And I love this creek because I prayed there every day. I looked down, and in the eddy was a fist side sweeping of gold dust and gold nuggets.
Whoa.
The answer to my prayers. Yeah. And then I have to decide to take it or not to take it. And if I'm going to take it, how can I? If I run back up to the house and get a pan, no, then the gold might be swept away. But then what kind of pan? Well, oh, wait, I have an artist painted gold pan. I could get that. Surely that would do it. No, I can't. There's no time in it. And I'm going back and forth. And then I look at the river and how devastated it is. And I see if I get this gold, even if I succeed in panning it, I have to turn it in to get cash for it. And then I have to identify where I got it. I look at the side of the riverbank. I say, I can't do it. I can't do it. As bad as I need the money, I can't do it. And then I just turned and walked to the house. But for years, I asked myself, should I have taken that gold or not? Was Raven answering my prayers and giving me this gold? Or like, was I just like stupid and lacking gold pan confidence? I didn't get it. Or what, you know? And Raven is a trickster, so you have to be careful. Like, was it a test of my integrity? Or was it a test of I'm trying to help you and pick up on it, Colorado, right? So it was 20 years later, I was up in Anchorage and I was talking to two Native Athabascan friends. And I said to this elder over sourdough pancakes, so what do you think? Should I have taken the gold or not? That's Raven, right? Stays with you forever with a trickster. And she looked at me and she said, what happened next? And what happened next was phenomenal. But you will have to get the book to know what happened next.
I was hoping that you would leave us hanging and leave us wanting a little more. Well, that's absolutely enchanting. Thank you for sharing that portion of your book and that personal story of yours. Where can we get a hold of a copy of your book? Where is it available?
Well, you can get it on Amazon, and it's out by Hay House. I'm Juno and the Ravens going all over the world. The book is published in Sydney and Singapore and, I don't know, India, London, all over the place. If I sell 10 copies, I'll be really happy. So help me out, gang.
Well, what is next?
Raven Pride.
What's next for you, Dr. Colorado, and also for Worldwide Indigenous Science Network?
Worldwide Indigenous Science Network is in January opening a master's and PhD program with United Nations University in Costa Rica. And it's a place where people from every race, nationality, walk of life can get a master's or a PhD in Indigenous Science and Peace Studies. The earth mind, or the context-rich Indigenous mind, is a birthright for every human being on earth. And here's a place where Indigenous elders and Western scientists will help us to do that. We also continue our work. We have a network of Indigenous shamans and elders from around the world, and we work to keep that knowledge alive. And increasingly, because of the pressures on Indigenous people, you know, we have like something like 80% of the world's biodiversity remains on the Indigenous lands. So more and more Indigenous elders are being targeted and murdered because they can connect us to that way of knowing and being. I mean, here in Juneau, it's so beautiful. Like the land, the mountains are just right in front of you. It just holds you and touches you, and the rains and the wind. So we're already 80% of the way into the Indigenous science mind. So open up, own our ancestry and come back into the fold. The earth needs it. We need it to survive.
Well, I really want to thank you for your time today. Apila Colorado, Dr. Apila Colorado, founder of Worldwide Indigenous Science Network and author of Women Between the Worlds, A Call to Your Ancestral and Indigenous Wisdom. Thanks for talking to me today.
Ah, gunas chish.
Gunas chish.
Thank you.